You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello, and welcome back to the show, or welcome to the show, if it's your first time. We're coming at you with another one from the Shred Shed, which is obviously my preferred way to do these podcasts, but not always feasible. So I was really excited when Trevor reached out and we got to hang out. I played a bunch of his guitars that had his pickups in it and all that good stuff. It was a good hang. It was a good time. If this is your first time hearing about Trevor and Coconut Monkey, you might slide over to their Instagram page. You search Coconut Monkey on Instagram. I'm sure you're going to find it. And it'll provide a little more context for what we're talking about when we're talking about some of the more design, like, aesthetics and stuff. So that's probably a good idea. But other than that, that's enough preamble nonsense. You know, help support the show by sharing with your friends, rating and reviewing on iTunes or whatever platform you like to listen on. If there's a way to rate and review, please rate and review. It helps a lot. And, you know, share with your friends. And if you need more of this kind of content in your life, there's more over on Patreon. So if you go to tonemob.com/Patreon, there is about 60 plus episodes of additional audio content over there for you and more being published every week. So if this is your kind of thing that you're into and you enjoy it, there's more. There's much more where that came from. So that's where you go, patreon.com/tonemob, and you'll see the different levels and the different options. Okay, with all that said, I will get out of this preamble mode and get into podcasting mode. Here you go. Here's an episode with Mr. Trevor Chase. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Tone Mob Podcast, the show about guitar tone and the people behind it. I'm your host, Blake Weiland, and with me today, I have Trevor Chase from Coconut Monkey Electronics.
Hello, hello.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. It's good to be here.
It's nice that you came by and let me, sweat all over your guitar. That was nice of you.
Well, I mean, someone's got to. I haven't been playing them much lately, so it's good to get some sweat on them.
Yeah, well, it keeps them hydrated. You don't want these things drying out.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah.
So anytime you need guitars sweated on, I'm the man to call. I'll sweat on them with just so much delight. It'll be just great.
All right. I'll give you a call.
All right. Thank you. So we can just jump right into it. So this is a little bit different episode. If you haven't figured it out, we're actually doing this in person, which is always preferable rather than just staring at a random computer screen. Yeah. And so Trevor reached out because he was a listener of the podcast and basically said, hey, I want to show you some of the stuff I make. And so here we are. Well, we ate hot pot and then here we are.
Yeah.
So, but why don't you take the lead on the classic question since you know what I'm about to say. And just give me your musical backstory and tell the audience all about you and what you do.
Yeah, no problem. So I started playing music in fourth grade, I think. My first instrument, I'll put money on this if you can guess it.
Mm, okay. Your first instrument. Me? You want me to guess it right now?
Okay. No, yeah, you right now.
Well, since you said it that way, I'm going to go with something stranger than not a guitar. I'm going to say you started with a clarinet.
No. Oh. No. My first instrument was the handbell.
Ah, yes. I almost went triangle.
Oh, so close.
All right, handbell. All right. Yeah, so seems solid. All right.
I started playing handbells in the church. And then fifth grade came along and I picked up the trumpet and played that through the short time that I went to college. Uh-huh. And during that time, I picked up a guitar. My dad played. He taught me my first three chords and then just took off from there learning whatever I could. And then, Here I am, I guess. That's
that's not the full story.
The long and short.
We don't want the long and short. We want the long. So I know you, I'm cheating somewhat because we talked at lunch. But so you were doing kind of an interestingly set up tour, though, for a little while.
Yeah. So I, let me think about where it was. I was working at a place called Bravo Arts Academy in Ogden, Utah. And I saw this like Craigslist post about a band looking for a guitar player to tour with.
Mm-hmm.
And I answered it and they said, hey, bring all your stuff, come down, audition, whatever. So I went down. They were auditioning in a like high school auditorium, which was interesting, and like had this whole huge stage set up. And I didn't know like a whole lot about what they were doing or what they were all about. So I get there and they said, yeah, so we run a nonprofit called Music Makes Music, and we go to schools and put on a whole rock show and tell kids, you know, we're all about drug-free, tobacco-free kind of lifestyles. You don't have to be on drugs and smoking and whatever to be cool.
That's not the way I understand it.
Well,
I'm sorry. That was a bad joke.
That was the message that you
like, good message. I like that. I support the message, but I haven't found that to be true. totally kidding. Of course.
But so yeah, I didn't get the guitar gig at first. But they wanted to keep me on. So I did the lights and sound for a little bit. And after that, the bass player left. So I actually ended up playing bass for that band and not even guitar.
Hey, but that works. Bass is a guitar, technically.
I mean, yeah. Not what I originally hoped to be doing there.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so we would go to like different schools, states. We went as far as we were actually coming up here to Portland, but the van broke down in Boise, Idaho, and we decided to turn back. But we went down to like Vegas and LA area, out to Colorado, and would be out for a week or two and then come back. And it was interesting going to, we'd have to hop to the next school, set up our whole like stage risers and everything, full PA. It was a thing.
Was it interesting kind of being all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to go play guitar. Actually, no, I'm not. I'm going to run sound and lights for this big, like pretty big production.
Yeah.
Like there was a lot going on there. That seems like what kind of getting thrown right into the fire. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was. It was an experience. I think I'm trying to remember what the first trip I did with them was. I think it was Southern Idaho. And, you know, we drove whatever, 6-7 hours to the destination. And the nice thing was we worked with, because we were a nonprofit, hotels would donate rooms and restaurants would donate meals.
Nice. But,
so it wasn't like the, we're living off whatever we can make on merch and kind of experience.
That's good.
It was a bit more cushy, but yeah, just being thrown into that was wild. Going from sitting in a small room teaching snot-nosed kids how to play guitar to on the road a couple weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It was, it was interesting.
It's a cool perspective, though, I think, and a unique one. It's not, you know, there's not very many people who kind of just go into an experience like that and then go back to sort of just normal every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Usually once you get to that level in like a touring band, that's what you're doing. You're in that industry forever pretty much at that point.
Yeah. The tipping point for me was, you know, like I said, nonprofit. They were kind of, I think they were in their second or third year. And the money wasn't great. I was living with my parents at the time. I was 19, 20-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I made enough money to cover my car payment.
Right.
And that's about it. So that was, I think, the biggest deciding factor of like, I like the experience. I like, you know, doing that. I don't know if I can stick it out right. much longer right. to actually start making money.
Yeah, yeah, that's, that is nonprofit world from what I understand to some degree.
Yeah, yeah, especially starting out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, a startup and a nonprofit, that's a very difficult road to hoe because either one by themselves is already hard.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. But it's cool that they were able to do that. That's important for kids to see that you can do these things, you know, and because a lot of these kids are not going to concerts or they're not getting exposed to like those people are just people on TV, you know, they're not real people.
Yeah.
And I've gotten really good with I've gotten to meet some people that I looked up to and it's like, oh, they're just dudes. They're just cool, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But there's something about somebody that you've only seen on screen because I just seen Jack White for the first time recently.
Nice.
And it was like, I mean, I didn't meet him or anything, but I just watched him at the concert and it was like, oh, he's a real guy. He's flesh and blood. Like,
wow.
Cause it was weird because I was like, I've only seen him. He's been such a big, you know, musical influence on all of us, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, this is a guy that I grew up listening to in high school is like a cool rock and roll guy.
Yeah.
And he's still a cool rock and roll guy. Like, and he's almost seems larger than life. And then seeing him in person, it was like, Oh no, he's a man. Like he's a guy that, and people can do what he's doing. You know, it's possible.
Yeah. I had a similar experience at the Tacoma Guitar Festival in April.
Mm-hmm.
One of the performers was Angus Clark of Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh yes. Uh-huh.
And he did this whole, I don't know if you've looked into what he's doing nowadays when he's not touring with TSO,
but
like super cool stuff. He does like speaking and just cool guy. But, you know, my wife and I, have been going to the TSO shows pretty much every year for the last 6, 7, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we always see them up on stage and it's like, oh my God. And to actually get to, I got to talk to him for a little bit and he's just, like you said, he's just a dude, you know, I think there's a interesting difference between like the personality someone portrays on stage and who they are off the stage.
Yeah. And I mean,
I've noticed,
I mean, I'm even guilty of it to a little bit of a degree on this. Like I'm a little more buttoned down when the mics get hot than I am in real life. In real life, I'm kind of like, bleh, shoot from the hip. We're just going to, I mean, you know.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. But yeah, when the mics get hot, I'm like, oh, yes, well, good sir. And yes, my name is Graham Wellington. You know, like, it's a little bit of I can't help it. It's just like, okay, got to do, and you know, as fun as this is, it's like, okay, got to do the job and I got to do it right. And hopefully people don't hate it, you know, type of thing. So, there is some thought that goes into this, believe it or not, listeners. I do occasionally put some thought into this, but I try not to do it too often because it hurts. But anyway, so all that aside, so you've obviously been a huge music fan. Music's been very important to you forever. I know we share a lot of similar interests in our musical tastes, but what led to Coconut Monkey?
Are you asking about the name? Or?
Well, I'm going to get to that, but yeah, we'll get to that later.
So a number of years ago, it was 8 years ago last week exactly
that
I built my first pedal. It was a build your own clone kit, and that got me kind of hooked on that. I bought a bunch more kits. You know, I could show you a picture of my board or whatever, but it's mostly pedals that I've built myself at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just clones, but I got into that and then started modding guitars and like changing out the wiring and stuff. I put in a new set of pickups in my Les Paul, and that's when the bug really bit me. And I'm like, oh, I need to, you know, I've made pedals. I'm not ready for amps yet. Let's go for pickups.
Right.
And I, you know, the pickup space is like, it's really crowded, but I feel, I don't know, it's an interesting space to be in. there's a lot of competition, you know, obviously huge companies and all the smaller companies, but the community is awesome. There's groups on Facebook that, like everyone just shares knowledge and everything. It's not like super closely guarded secrets.
Oh, nice. Kind of like the pedal community.
Yeah. Kind of like the pedal community. It's, you know, someone finds a new way to use this component and they just go share it with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I just wanted to, find a new way to customize my sound, and was like, it's just wire and some plastic and a magnet, right?
Yeah, that's all it is. Nah, that's all it is. Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing to know. Just wrap some wire around it. It'll be all right.
Yeah. So, started looking at that. The original thought was to do wood bobbins.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned I'm really bad at woodworking.
I've learned that about myself a time or two. Yeah, I understand.
So, this was, God, 4 years ago, and 3D printing was kind of becoming more accessible in mm-hmm. a home use kind of thing. So I'm like, maybe we could look into that. So I bought the cheapest 3D printer I could find, and it was a pain in the, you know what, to figure out. But we got some good parts and were able to upgrade the printer, and yeah, here we are. So we 3D print things and wind them and make noises.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's kind of cool. I like the aesthetic choices you've made, because pickups, like you said, it's pretty saturated. It's pretty difficult for the most part, to look at a guitar, especially with the variety that's out there now, and go, yeah, I know what that is. I mean, the Roni behind you is a good example. Looks like humbuckers.
Right.
It's not. Those are single coils.
All right.
So like, nobody would know. Like, you wouldn't, you would look at that guitar guy playing it and be like, wow, that sounds like single coils, but they look like humbuckers. Yeah. And there's lots of guitars like that. And lots of, you know, P90s and in humbucker cover, lots of things going into humbucker covers.
Yeah.
And so there's just not a great way to stand out from pickups if you don't do something unique aesthetically.
Exactly.
It's the same thing, you know, with strings. I talk to Scott from Stringjoy like every day, and it's like, yeah, we got artists, but you know, if they don't tell anybody what strings they're using, it doesn't really matter if they're our artist or not, you know, because no one can tell.
Exactly.
I
mean, unless they're the whatever bright green coated strings.
Yeah, we know those ones. Yeah, we get it, buddy. Like settle down.
Turn it down.
Yeah, settle down a little bit. We understand. You really like to stand out. Those strings are kind of fun sometimes, actually.
They are.
But where was I going with that? Anyway, oh yeah, the aesthetics of your pickups. Now you've got like different colors and stuff, but they fit. And I like with the guitars that you brought over.
Yeah.
They look right in the guitars. And so it's not different just to be different.
Right. And that's kind of what we try to do. Like, one of my biggest inspirations was, why am I blanking on the name right now?
Oh, story of my life.
Kiesel.
Oh yeah.
Kiesel mm-hmm. guitars. You know, you go to their website, you can choose every aspect about your guitar
mm-hmm.
and then they throw some, you know, stock, whatever pickups in it. I'm like, why can't you customize the look of your pickups too?
Right.
So like with the 3D printing, you know, it's exponentially cheaper than injection molding.
Of course.
So we can save money there and pass that along and do all the different colors without really any extra cost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know where that was going.
Well, I don't know. That seems like, I mean, just a reason you've chosen to go the way you went is what I'm.
Yeah,
what I'm seeing.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we always get the comments that, you know, it stands out. They look good, and you know, we try to match them up to the guitar they're going into. And I think it's cool to have that opportunity to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And anybody who gets down to the level, I feel like anybody that gets down to the level of swapping pickups is a person who's at least, if not serious, pretty curious about their sound.
Yeah.
You know, they may not be like the biggest gearhead in the world, but if they're already to that point where like, I wonder if I can make my guitar sound different.
Yep.
That's just another, like my dad's never thought that, you know, he's a guitar player. He's just not. And he knows that he likes certain sounds with certain guitars.
Right.
But once he gets one, he's not going to change anything on it.
yeah. unless it's broken.
You know? Right.
So it's just the way he is as a player. And that's more common than probably most of the people that listen to this show.
Yeah, I've realized that in the couple of years I've been doing this.
Yeah, we've talked about the shows that you've been to and some of the things that we've both been at the same shows unknowing, yeah. you know, we didn't realize it, but, and it was like, there's just a different level. There's just so many different types of players.
Yeah.
And it's weird because the general public would be like, you play guitar, so you have the same, like all guitar players play, they play guitar.
Right.
Well, we look at it, we're like, we got headless guitars, we got, you know, hollow body guitars, we got all these different options. So yeah, all that to say is, it takes a real nerd to get down on that. And why wouldn't a real nerd who's obsessed over every other detail
yeah.
not want to, you know, change how they look?
That much more detail in it. Yeah.
So I think it's really cool. Tell me about the other aesthetic choice that you went with that I really like is using the exposed like screw type pull pieces.
Oh yeah. That was mostly out of laziness.
Okay, perfect. As all great things tend to be. Maybe that's not right.
It would take two print files to have slug pull pieces and screw pull pieces.
Okay.
And that would mean twice the design work
mm-hmm.
and twice the printing time because we'd have to print. Or we could, you know, figure it out and put them all on the same bed, but... having all the same pieces.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, I see.
You know, they're all interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking into some other ways to fit different types of things into our existing bobbins, but that's mostly it. It's just pure laziness on
my
point.
It's laziness, or is it lean manufacturing?
I like that. Lean manufacturing.
Well, I've been talking about it a lot with some various people, so yeah. it's a term that popped into my brain.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, that really is a thing, though. Like, if you go and look at Toyota has a book on, like,
exactly.
I need to read it. I don't even build things, but I think it would be it sounds like a great read. And it's about how Toyota operates so lean and so mean, and how they're just like one of the best manufacturing companies in the world.
Yeah,
basically.
I've done a few like Six Sigma type classes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a similar thing of just streamlining everything, and you know, maybe that's going to be my excuse in the future.
Yeah, that sounds better than laziness, probably. Yeah. I feel like people might be, maybe will give you like, oh yeah, he's kind of smart. Yeah. He knows what he's talking about. Lean. Totally. Yeah. Lean sounds good. Mm-hmm. It's very good stuff. So you've been, how long have you been making the pickups for?
In their current form,
I should say.
We started the company about 3 years ago, and at that point we were already like on to 3D printing and everything. So yeah, about 3 years, not terribly long. I'm pretty new to the scene, I think, as far as musical instrument companies are concerned.
It's nice that you've think that way versus the way that I initially thought when I got into it. It's like, I've been around a year already. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm a sort of a stab. And then it was like, no, that's not even close. That's a baby. You're still a baby.
Yeah.
At that point. But when you put in so much work, it can feel that way. Like,
definitely. Yeah. I mean, the work on prototyping and stuff that we did for this was, I was not expecting at first, but, yeah, I mean, like, I just want to play the long game, you know, do it right and build slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 years is a blink of an eye.
Yeah, really. No, that's very true. Very, very true. It's hard to remember that sometimes when you work so hard at something. But it's like, no, it's even 5 years to work on a product and company.
Exactly.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not a very long time. So. I played humbuckers today. That's what you brought over. Do you have any single coils, or are you looking at going that way?
Not yet. We are working on it. You know, because of the 3D printing, it's a matter of designing the file, testing it, making sure the part can withstand the pressure of the coil, because it may not seem like it, but there's a lot of pressure pushing out on the flatwork.
Interesting.
Of a pickup. Yeah. Just with how many winds you're doing, and you know, I try to do things with wind really tight, so because we don't I don't know if we talked about this. I don't pot my pickups.
We haven't talked about that at all. And I actually do want to get into that. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So
maybe we should explain what that is in case some people don't know.
Yes.
That would be an easy thing.
Let's talk about potting. Basically, it's the process of dipping the finished coil. And should we back up and talk about how the...
Actually, maybe we need to just go from square one. This is not a bad thing. I know this would probably be better visually, but I think we could probably deconstruct this.
Yeah.
Audibly.
Audibly?
There we go. I'm going to say audibly. No, not a word.
So a pickup is essentially, for most humbuckers, it's a plastic bobbin. From the side, it looks like a capital I.
Mm-hmm.
And you take this tiny, tiny copper wire and wrap it around it, sometimes upwards of, I think I do like 6,500 winds on one bobbin for my highest output.
Okay.
So you're wrapping it around that thousands of times, and with all that pressure that you're putting to lay down the coil, it pushes out on the flatwork and can quite a bit.
Right. And it has to be tight. It can't be loosely wrapped
definitely.
On there.
And that's kind of the reason I don't pot, but we'll talk about potting first. Mm-hmm. So you take that coil and you dip the whole thing in, most people use wax. There's some people that like pot with lacquer or whatever, but 90% I'd say is a paraffin beeswax mix.
Right.
And that penetrates the coil and keeps the wire from moving around, keeps it from being microphonic, and just kind of makes it a little cleaner, less noisy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't do that.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. But
I like to think that if you manufacture it in such a way, you don't need to pot the pickups. And I think that gives you a bit more of a more active musical sound. Because potting tends to kind of dull the sound a little bit. I mean, if you listen to them side by side, it's probably barely perceptible, but
right.
That's it was again another lean manufacturing decision.
Oh, I just don't want to do that.
I mean, it's messy, it can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Paraffin's super flammable, so if you heat it too much, your shop's on fire.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, easily. Yeah, it's way flammable.
So safety and lean manufacturing.
Yeah. And you just like how it sounds better. It's not something that I know that it's a thing.
Yeah.
It's not something that I've really ever put that much thought in. I don't know which guitars I have that have potted pickups and which ones don't. I have no idea. I mean, I know if I really looked at them.
Right.
I never paid any attention.
Yeah. I mean, this Gibson may or may not be, but again, like the difference is, I would say probably barely perceptible.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes down to the overtones that you get a little bit more when you're not potted, and just that adds to the musicality of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That overtones are like, they're an underrated thing, I think. In
yes.
That's like I like this, but I don't know why. It
yeah.
could be because it's vibrating at just the right frequency.
Yep.
That's really what it comes down to. That's like the difference. When people talk about tone being in the fingers,
right?
I think that's a lot of what they're actually talking about.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, oh, the way that guy physically presses,
mm-hmm.
as his fingers shaped a certain way and he pushes a certain way, it generates the note just slightly different.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be some science behind that.
It seems crazy that
it's science.
It's not
guys.
just magic.
Just trust him. It's science.
It's science. I know science. I'm a scientist.
I'm a tone scientist.
We were trying to dissect this pedal earlier.
Oh, yeah, that was some good sleuthery.
Yeah, I twist knobs until I figure out what's going on.
Hey, I couldn't figure it out, so I appreciate the insight.
Yeah, no problem. But it's a cool pedal. It'll just need a little love. It'll,
yeah, a little TLC. It'll, you know, get there. He's new to the market, so
yeah,
young kid.
Yeah, well, we're just helping out the kids. Exactly. See, excitable. I'm just here to help out children. It's not self-serving at all. It's entirely about children.
Yeah, let me shout. It's Excitable Pedals.
Oh, okay.
I think he's got a reverb shop, tonemob.com/reverb.
Yeah, exactly. tonemob.com/reverb shop. Yeah, that's the only way.
Don't even
to
need
shop
to plug
on
that
reverb.
This episode.
Yeah, yeah. Only way to shop on reverb.com. tonemob.com/reverb. Basically, doesn't work any other way.
Yeah.
You'll crash the site if exactly. you don't go through yep. that link. That's how it works.
That's how the internet works.
Tell your friends. But so I know you were talking about you're not playing guitar as much anymore, but when you are playing, what's your rig look like? Like, what are you playing through? And
so, like I said, most of my pedals are put together by me. You know, I take one of my many guitars at this point, not quite as many as you, but enough to make my wife give me the side eye when I talk about a new one.
Oh yeah, I've had that many since I had one guitar. That's just how she's just like, you can't play more than one at once. Stop talking like my dad.
That's not the point. God, I can't even remember. I think I took a picture on my phone. But you know, my rig is super basic. We'll look at it later. Compressor, couple fuzzes. Mm-hmm. I've got one of the favorite ones I've got that I put together is a Way Huge Red Llama clone.
Oh, okay.
Have you played one of those?
Not in a long time.
Oh my God. It's like headroom for days, and the fuzz is, it's an overdrive, but it gets into that like almost fuzzy territory.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much.
It's so good. But yeah, I mean, let's see. After the dirt, I've got a couple modulation that I don't really use because most of what I play is just like punk rock or ska. And
pick it up.
It's just there to fill out the board at this point. Right. maybe for the buffer on some of them, but
right.
And then my amp that I'm using right now is a Trace Elliott GRP3.
Oh yes. Trace Elliott, that's one of those amp companies that I know almost nothing about, but I see them on Craigslist all the time.
Yeah, this head is freaking insane. So it was originally released as just strictly a preamp rack unit.
Okay.
And then Trace Elliott decided, for whatever reason, to put them in a box with a power amp and sell it as a head.
Oh, all right. I mean,
so,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a three-channel, the first two preamp channels are tube, the third channel, the like distortion channel, is solid state. Mm-hmm. Going through a solid state power amp and into a kind of vintage crate cab. I don't even remember what's in it or what it is.
Some crate cab from the 90s.
Yeah like I said, I'm maybe the worst gear person on the show. I haven't changed around my pedal board in years.
But you have a pedal board.
I do.
It has pedals on it. And that is something I cannot say.
We should build you one.
I've thought about it. I mean, I told you about the ridiculous idea that I was kicking around.
Yeah, yeah. I keep pulling out my phone like I'm going to show you something. We're sitting across the room. It's going to be difficult. No, my pedal board is something that I get even the most comments on. For as long as I can remember, at least like 9 or 10 years, I've built pedal boards out of old suitcases.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've seen that move.
Yeah. I mean, and it's awesome. You just close up the suitcase and
away you go. No, I love it.
Yeah, I've got some extra suitcases around if you're interested.
Yeah, I've got one board I need to get set up. I feel bad because it's a beautiful board, but I need to get it set up. And then I was telling him before the show, I've been doing the synth guitar playing thing a lot lately. I posted on Instagram like once, I think, but I don't know if I've talked it on the show, but I'm trying to play two instruments at the same time I don't know why, because I can't hardly play one well, but I just thought it would be a fun thing to try. So now it's got me running crazy with, I want to do an all dirt pedal board and like for the guitar, and then a modulation and like everything else board for the guitar, just mostly because I can't decide which fuzz pedals. So I need to have like 17 fuzz options, and it's just not going to fit on
that's
a board.
Normal.
And then I also want a like a regular kind of guitar setup pedal board for the synth stuff. So I don't know why I need all this, but I feel like I do. And so anyway, that was a long story with no real point to it at the end of the day.
I mean, what's the real point to the podcast in general, right?
Yeah, well,
that's, to talk about gear.
Yeah.
Like, that's why we're here.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Or, you know, dog food or something. Who knows what else is going to come up. But
well, I don't have a dog right now, so I can't comment on that.
Neither do I. But yeah. You do have a coconut monkey, and so we didn't ever get into the name. What's the deal with the name?
So my parents a long time ago took a vacation to Hawaii.
Okay.
Without me, obviously. Why would you take your small children to Hawaii?
Yeah, why would you?
But they brought back this coconut that had a monkey head carved into it.
Okay.
And like seashells for eyes with some little paint dots on it. The thing is terrifying.
I wasn't expecting that last part.
No. So I had that, you know, just put it in a box in my room. And then in high school, I was in a band, and we just recorded through like Audacity on my computer to get a demo out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And whenever we'd record, we'd hang the monkey head on the desk so we could say, you know, we recorded at Coconut Monkey Studios.
Right, just, right.
You know, stupid high school stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then I ran like a mobile studio with that name for a little bit. Didn't have much success with it, but... Then when we decided to do pickups, I'm like, well, let's just carry over the name.
Yeah, just keep
change,
it going.
Change it around a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's the short story. And, well, and the long one.
it's about right. It's about the right length of story for what it is.
It's the perfect length of story.
I mean, yeah. Is that become the company mascot then?
Yeah. We bring it to all the shows and scare all the children.
I love it. I'm going to have to look at this thing. I never paid much attention to the monkey. I just looked at the pictures of the pickups. I ignored the monkey.
Well, the monkey doesn't like our logo is kind of a stylized monkey head. So that's not it. Obviously, the monkey really only makes an appearance on Instagram every now and then, and at the guitar shows.
Gotcha. I'll have to scour the gram. I got to see this monkey and see how scary it really is. I'll report back. You all know, unless I have a heart attack, in which case I will not report anymore.
I claim no responsibility for impending heart attacks.
I feel like it's your fault somehow. I'm recording this, so I'm going to say that it is your fault.
It is on tape, so.
Yeah. His eyes just got a different look in him. These are the things I can't see when I'm recording remote. I don't know what people are really feeling. He just was like, uh-oh, I was going to commit murder, but now I can't.
Well, would it be murder? Let's talk about this now.
Okay, that's a good point. I probably not. It's probably not anything.
Because that's your own fault if you have a weak heart.
That's like, true.
I can't control that.
Well, yeah, that's why you fed me a bunch of fatty hot pot before we did this. So you're trying to get my cholesterol up.
Wait, no, you're onto me now.
I'm starting to figure all this out. This has gotten really disturbing.
The plan is unraveling.
He's just trying to steal me and murder and steal all my fuzz pedals. That's what he's trying to do.
And guitars and maybe the podcast, but whatever.
It's a new hello, this is a new host. I know you guys thought.
Don't ask about Blake.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about him. He doesn't exist. He gave me the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. He said he was done. It's fine. He
just handed the keys over to the podcast machine. This podcast machine is diesel powered, though, by the way. So you're gonna, you're gonna need to go to the store and load up. I don't know if we really didn't go through the maintenance plan on this machine. You might be biting off more than you can chew.
I mean, do you have the owner's manual somewhere? I could probably
No. This is a home built job.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, this is a hot rod.
Maybe I don't want to do that. Don't look at the monkey head until that hot pot cholesterol clears your system.
Until you went to the gym a little bit more, and you can look at the coconut monkey. No one will die that way.
Yeah, maybe I'll just post it on the Facebook group or something.
Maybe, is it one of those things, kind of like Medusa, where you can't look at it directly, but if you look at it through a mirror, you see a picture of it, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a valid... this podcast is weird, man. Talk about the weirdest stuff.
You've had some weird episodes lately, but I don't know if this one will take the cake.
Yeah, I don't know. The power outage one still is like, that was just... Yeah. It was awesome. I'm so glad how it turned out, but it was while I was recording it, I was like, I don't know if this is going to count or not. Like,
I mean, that can be the most exciting, though.
That's why we had three phones recording at the same time. So in case anything
just to make sure you got the audio.
Yeah, in case anything went wrong, I could pull it from somebody's phone. I used my phone, Jess's phone, and an old iPhone I had laying around because my stupid thing, my Zoom recorder was, well, actually, I shouldn't blame the recorder. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. I probably pushed a wrong button. I'm sure the recorder's fine, but I was like, I don't have time to figure this out.
Right.
I need to be up there in 45 minutes. And anyway, yeah. So that was that. Yeah. That podcast brought to you by iPhone. Like a true industry professional. Man, I don't know where I was going to go.
that was quite the tangent.
That was a tangent and a half. That was a big one. Leaves me in a weird spot. But you did say it. So tell me more about your band. You said you're not playing as much guitar.
Yeah.
A lot of trumpet. Tell me about the band.
Yeah. We've only been jamming for a few months now.
Okay.
We're called Friday Night Saints.
I like it.
Kind of just some straight up punk rock, a little bit of ska thrown in every now and then a horn.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, right now I'm exclusively playing horn on that. So my guitars are not getting much love.
Oh,
yeah. It's a bit sad.
You can leave them here. It's okay.
I like to look at them still.
All right. Well, just leave the SG then. It's okay.
That one's not mine.
That's why you can leave it here. So I don't know what happened to it.
I don't know, Jeff. It just disappeared.
I keep seeing it on this guy's Instagram.
It looks exactly like your guitar.
I mean, no, he just bought one like that. That's weird. I don't know how that happened. Yeah, for the record, we should tell people there's a beautiful black SG that he brought over. Sorry. Well, we'll go back to the band in a minute. I forgot about. I was going to tell people this on the show. So I traditionally like lower output pickups, and I think people kind of know that at this point.
Yeah.
But so we went through the guitars he brought, and it had all the different humbuckers they make. And I was like, oh yeah, this lower output one's probably my favorite. And he handed me the highest output one, and it was loaded in this awesome SG. And he was like, yeah, you may not like these ones. Turned out those were my favorite ones. So what do I know? Like, preconceived notions mean nothing, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, they rip. I love that set.
They do. They rip, and they also don't rip.
Yes.
If you want them not to. Yeah. That is the problem I generally have with really high output humbuckers. Not that these are crazy high, but they're fairly hot.
Yeah, we actually make a set hotter than that now.
Oh, you do?
We do.
Yeah. Now I'm curious. Normally I'd be like, it's not for me. But now I'm like, shows what I know.
I don't have them in anything right now, but we could make that happen and get your hands on it.
Well, I mean, why not? I'm not going to turn that down. I've never turned anything like that down in my entire life.
All right.
But yeah, so do you have names so we can not refer to that so people know what we're talking
about? Yeah, so the lowest output one is the Chimp.
Okay.
The medium output is the Ape,
mm-hmm.
and the high output is the Gorilla.
The Gorilla. I like it. I like it.
Monkey themed, obviously.
Yeah, it makes sense. Makes sense. Okay, going back to the band. Sorry. I was like, I meant to say this earlier, and I totally forgot. So here we go. Okay. We're going back to the band.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. We're looking to book some gigs here in the next couple months. I think we just got offered a gig on December 13th.
Oh, so, there you go. In Portland?
In Portland, yeah. Let me pull up my phone again and see if I can...
Just do it. Yeah, say...
Figure out where it is.
Where's it at?
The Twilight.
The Twilight in Portland, Oregon?
In Portland, Oregon. It's a Friday night.
And this December is actually going to come out in plenty of time for you.
Oh, good.
You to plug this, so that's just fine.
If not, get in your time machine and just go back.
Go back in time.
Yeah.
I'm writing... Well, I shouldn't say anything about that. Never mind, I didn't say anything. don't say anything about that. Something about... Time machines is big in my brain right now. I've been talking about time travel a lot lately.
Okay.
I've got this theory about time travel. Let's see if this makes any sense.
All right. Hit me.
So, you know, Einstein's like, time's relative, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And like, I'm like, okay, I get that. But in my mind, I'm like, I don't care because humans can only perceive time one way.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter how it actually works. We can't perceive it that way. Is kind of how I think of it.
Yeah.
So I've always thought of time travel as being like the note, like Back to the Future doesn't really address the fact, like it's the epitome of the thought on this is Back to the Future. But it doesn't really address the fact that in my mind, since humans can only perceive time linearly, and I can never say that word, linearly.
Thank you.
Okay, there we go. That if a time machine was to be invented, that you could only ever go as far back in time as the moment that time travel becomes possible. That's my thought. So the moment that like it physically, like not the moment that whatever scientist guy thinks of how to do it, the moment that he physically like puts a part in place.
Right.
Is the moment that time travel actually becomes possible. And then what I think would happen is it would be nothing but chaos, like from our perception of it.
Right.
Like that, like, because everyone would just be trying to get back to that point so they could be the first to do something.
Right.
Because once it's possible, time doesn't exist anymore because you can go back and forth from that point, but only to that moment. That's always been my sci-fi thought on it. What do you think?
Now, I was going to poke a hole in it, but it kind of makes sense. But like, no. So what I was going to say is we only perceive time linearly. Mm-hmm. So why would our perception of time affect where we could time travel?
Well, it wouldn't necessarily affect where we could time travel to, but I don't think it makes any sense. Because if we could time travel back before time travel became possible, then time travel just became possible before then. And then it kind of becomes... Right.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, and it's just like, I just think of how we see it.
I get where you're coming from.
I'm just saying, if time travel is possible, we're going to have... Like, as soon as it's possible, we should see, like, some dude should be walking in and be like, hey, you know, guitar pedals are obsolete. It's all in our brains now. And so you should stop buying these. And they'll be like, what are you talking about? And he'd poof. I don't know.
Now, you just revealed my next electronics project.
Time travel?
No. Implanting pedals into your brain.
Oh, wow. I'm going to not be the first demo guy on that one. Usually yeah, I like to okay. be... All I right. like to be on the ground floor of things.
If you want to, give me a ring. Anyone listening? Just, joking.
At Coconut not, Monkey Electronics what, on Instagram for what, brain pedals.
Brain pedals.
Brain effects.
I mean, it's a good company name. Maybe I'll, if I get into pedals.
Brain effects? Brain effects. That has to be taken already. There's
we'll
no
look
way.
It up. I'll squat on the URL for a bit. If it's not out there.
I got offered. I occasionally will buy URLs for no reason.
Yeah.
In hopes that maybe I can sell them one day, or actually what really happens is you have a bunch of useless URLs you pay renewal fees on every year.
And you get all those annoying phone calls from people going through their registries and saying, hey, I'm going to scam you and tell you I'm going to build a website for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that. But one time I did get an actual offer on one.
Really?
But because I'm such a jerk, I was like, well, this one must be worth something. So I countered it.
Jeez.
And then he was like, no, and left. I was like, the one time it was going to pay off.
That's what you get for being a jerk, man.
I know. I was like, well, I guess I should take the first offer next time. Like the one time he's like, you want $200? I was like, no, I want five. And he's like, bye. Like, okay.
Guess he didn't want it that bad.
Yeah, I guess. I just thought in my mind, I was like, if you want it $200 bad, you want it $500 bad. If it's something like that, is what I thought. I was apparently very
yeah,
wrong
I mean,
about prob- that.
I don't know.
Oh, man. This is what users signed up for.
Yeah, definitely. This,
time travel and other nonsense podcast. Good job, Blake. You've done such a wonderful job with your life. So... What is the future? You've talked about you're making single coils, but what are your plans? What are you thinking you're going to do?
God, I have one secret plan that I'm not sure I'm comfortable sharing on air, honestly.
Ooh, well, then maybe we should.
But yeah, I mean, we want to move into single coils, Strat, Tele, P90s. We've talked to a couple builders, guitar builders, about, you know, custom shaped coils.
Oh, because like, oh, you know, yeah, because you can do that.
We can just make any shape we want. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be down for it. I just everyone that says, oh yeah, let's do it, just, you know, you never hear from them again. So
that sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds pretty familiar.
So yeah, I mean, we're just trying to build up slow, you know, make a good name for ourselves and make good pickups.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, now I'm so curious about your top secret plan. Well, but I'll just sit here
and maybe after you hit that record button and it's not on tape anymore.
Oh, industry secrets. Look at this. Throwing around industry secrets around here. That's crazy. Well, we are getting down to, you know, closer to the end of the show here. And, you know, maybe this isn't a fair question because, like you said, you've been kind of out of it for a while. But it is a classic question right at this point. So what would you say your favorite Boss pedal is?
Well, I do actually have one on my board right now.
Okay.
It's the Phaser. I don't even know what the model number is. The 3.
PH3?
PH3, yeah.
It's PH3, yeah.
Like I said, I'm the worst gear person to have on this freaking show.
Keep in mind, Trevor is also a regular listener, so I don't know why he would do that to himself. But
you know,
I'm not really I'm not the biggest gear guy, but I'm listening to this gear podcast because it's not about gear. That's why.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Got it.
I mean, I like gear. I love it. I just,
you definitely know it.
I feel like I know it. I just haven't been, you know, in the world. I haven't tried every clone or whatever. It's just not my thing. You know, yeah. I've got the boxes I like and
mm-hmm. You're good.
I'm good.
You're making the sounds you want to make. That's, yeah. He's found the tone. He's found his tone.
I've got it. So if you need the secrets, Trevor at Coconut Monkey Electronics, I might share them.
He wouldn't even tell me the big secret. He's going to tell you anything. He's just going to send you memes. If you do that, he's going to send you memes and gifts. That's all he's going
to do. Don't give me ideas. And don't give the listeners any ideas. My inbox is just going to be flooded with people, and I'll have my bank of memes, and that'll be it.
Well, I mean, memes are like gold these days.
They are gold. But no, I think a number of years ago, I had the OC2 octave.
Yeah.
It's the monophonic, like the tracking was terrible, but the sounds you could make with it,
oh yeah,
were so cool.
The OC2, I need to get an OC2. Those things are so awesome.
Yeah, I'd like to have one again.
So you're gonna go with the OC2 as your favorite?
Yeah, I think that'll be my final answer.
That's a good final answer. I've gotten a really wide variety of answers on that one, and all of them I'm like, I need more Boss pedals. Like, I only have like a couple. I should have more Boss pedals.
A fourth
Boss
board of just Boss pedals. I mean, why not?
Just have all the Boss
pedals? All Boss pedals.
Oh, I'd love all the Boss pedals. That'd be so wonderful. That'd be so wonderful. I'd be so happy if I had all the Boss pedals.
Someone's probably done it out there.
There is a guy on Instagram. He's at the Boss Pedal Project. And he's trying to collect all of the Boss pedals.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I've thought about reaching out and having him on once he does.
Nice.
Just like, tell me your crazy stories about collecting these pedals, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure there's got to be some interesting ones.
Yeah, and there's so many. It was, if it was me, I wouldn't try to do all of the Boss pedals because, like, I'm not so, I mean, maybe you don't count. I'm not super interested in the multi-effects, as everybody knows. So,
yeah,
like, up to a certain point, you know, maybe if there's one or two in a box, that's fine.
Right.
But I think all the compact pedals, that'd be my,
yeah,
my thing. But man, that'd be a lofty goal.
Oh man, and all the vintage ones too. Mm. Oh Jesus,
spendy.
That'll get spendy.
Spendy. But I seen them all on display at NAMM and at the Boss booth, and yeah. I was like, oh, want. I had just as much want over that over as it was like some boutique thing that I also like a spaceman or something that I'd be like, oh.
I need to get out to NAMM one of these days.
Yeah, you should come on down. I don't know if we're going to have a pizza party this year or not, but we're going to try to. We'll
yeah, see. Unfortunately, I don't think if I'll ever make it to Summer NAMM. My wedding anniversary is way too close, and my wife has already kind of put the kibosh on that. Winter NAMM.
Wait, doesn't she want to visit Nashville? You know?
I tried
you
that.
Do Nashville for your anniversary, and you just take one day. You just
The one reason we had to go out there, we had a friend that lived out there, but she moved to Japan. So now we...
Hey, We got people there. Okay. There's plenty of people there. We can find you some people.
Maybe one day I'll convince her.
We'll send you to talk to Grant Wilson or you know, from Big Ear or
nice. Yeah.
Matt Hoops from 1981. He's down there.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be fun. Well, yeah. Matt Hoops is from 1981. He's not from anything else. He's not. No one else would know him from anything like Reliant K or
what?
Anything
no.
like that.
No. Reliant who?
Who? What? No. No one would know that. All right. Here we go. Trevor.
Yeah.
You know it's coming.
Yeah.
And I've not asked you anything about this yet, although I've been dying to know. To be honest. I've been wondering since we ate lunch. I keep saying that. We ate lunch last week. Or the week before?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 weeks ago. Like that. We didn't eat lunch today. So it's not like we ate lunch today and I've been sitting on this one for a while. What kind of pizza do you like?
Oh, I gotta toot my own horn. I make a pretty dang good pizza.
Mm.
Dough from scratch.
Oh.
Yeah. One of our favorites is my wife is vegan and we do this barbecue cauliflower.
Okay.
You get the texture right, it feels just like a barbecue chicken kind of deal. You know, saute some onions in there too, and that's a good one. But if I was going like one that I didn't make, I always go for a good pepperoni slice, big New York style.
Yep, it's hard to argue with.
Hard to argue with.
So good. That's my go-to too. I better not say too loud. Last time I said that on a podcast, people made a terrible image of me. Nick Scott.
Someone can dig that up, I would
Much digging. I'll show you. It just happened.
Right.
I mentioned tutus on Chasing Tone, and all of a sudden there's horrible photoshops of me running around the internet. It's not good. It's not a good look. It's really, I'm like, wow, I'll never wear that. That's
careful
for certain.
What you say on the internet.
Yeah, no kidding. I never imagined that. I showed my wife. She's like, what is that? I'm like, look closer. She's like, ugh.
you mean you weren't just realizing your deepest dream of becoming a ballerina?
No, it's not a good look for me. It's not a...
All right. We can let the listeners decide.
For one thing, I can't dance.
Not with that attitude, you can't.
I dance like a punk rocker at a punk rock concert, which isn't exactly dancing. So it's not a good. This is bad. This is bad all around. Well, I was gonna go though. So since you're local, what is some of your favorite pizza in town?
Oh, I like the Sizzle Pie.
Sizzle Pie is solid.
Sizzle Pie is good. Yeah. There's actually a place close to me up in Vancouver called Rally Pizza. They make a pretty good pie.
Oh, okay. I'll try that.
Yeah. If you ever come up to the Couve, give me a ring. We'll check out Rally Pizza.
I like it. Rally Pizza. It's a good name, too.
Yeah. It's a good place.
I was going to say, like, relative to where we met for lunch, I think you should try, it's in the Pine Street Market.
Okay.
It's Checkerboard Pizza.
Checkerboard Pizza.
It's owned by the guy who owns Ken's Artisan.
Okay.
And so, but it's more like New York style pizza. So it's like Ken's Artisan's great, but it's its own thing.
Yeah.
And then this is more like Ken's Artisan making New York style pizza. It's my very favorite flavors, like, is just their cheese slice.
Oh, wow.
It's like,
That's got to be a good cheese slice, because, I mean, cheese is good, but... To say that.
So, and I've had their pepperoni. I've had several different ones. But the nail in the coffin was Jess and I went there, and we both got a cheese slice, and we both got a slice of this special one they had. That had, like, Italian sausage and some other things that just, you know, sounds all kinds up my alley.
Yeah.
And we both got done, and we're like, man, that was good, but I wish it was the cheese slice. The cheese slice is so good there for some reason.
Check it out.
Yeah, it's a great place. Great place. All right, man. Well, we've been at it. Do you have anything you'd like to leave the listeners with? Any where can they find you on the internet, or just messages for life in general?
Don't stop playing like I did.
Go. Absolutely.
I regret every day that I don't play my guitar. So, but yeah, you can find me coconutmonkeyelectronics.com. I know it's a mouthful, but deal with it.
All right. All right. Okay.
It's fair. Instagram, fair, Facebook, Coconut Monkey Electronics. It's all under the same name. So all right. I'm out there.
All right.
Send me an email. I'll send you a meme or a GIF.
A meme, a GIF, or something.
Or if you want some pickups, you know, we could do that.
That'd probably be more appropriate. Let's get some pickups. Upgrade your pickups. Why not? It's time to do it. All right, man. Thanks so much for coming on. This was a good time.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. So for Trevor, this is Blake. And as always, folks, good luck and good tones. Woohoo! We did it. We did it. I'm guessing a lot of you who are listening to this part right now might be wondering what happened with that last outro where we were giving away pizza. That got snatched up in like the first hour after the podcast dropped. So apparently lots of people listened to these. So I'm really glad that lots of people listened to the outros, because I wondered for a while if I was completely wasting my time. So from time to time, I'm going to drop, you know, just little special nuggets in here for those that listen to the entirety of these episodes, to the ones that get to the very bitter end. And, you know, maybe it'll be pizza again. I don't know. But that was really fun. But, you know, there was about 50 of you that emailed. So I the experiment was a success. So thank you for everybody who reached out. And I'm sure there were a lot of you that listened and probably just went, that's too late. And you were probably right if you didn't listen within the first hour of the episode dropping. So, yeah, thanks for listening. Continue to listen to the whole show, and I'll try to make it fun. Always trying to find ways to get the listeners involved, and it's a little bit challenging when it's kind of just a one-on-one conversation like these episodes so often are. But always trying to figure out how to make things a little more interactive and interesting, and doing whatever I can there. So I'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bye bye. One last thing before we totally sign off here, I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping at Stringjoy, that's Stringjoy Guitar Strings made in Nashville, that will help me out as well. As I've said for years, I'm heavily involved in that company, and I really do think they're making the best products on the market. So if you would like to try custom strings, go to tonemob.com/stringjoy. And check them out today. I seriously love what the team down there is doing. I help them out with all kinds of things. And by you supporting them, you are also supporting me as well. And hey, you need some strings, so why not get some custom strings just for your guitar and playing style? Again, the link for that is tonemob.com/stringjoy, and that will take you right to their website. And you can do all your shopping through there, and that will help everyone involved out. So thank you very much. Talk to you next time. We are brought to you by the wonderful folks at Gun Street Wiring Shop. Yes, Gun Street Wiring Shop. I've talked about them before. I used to say based out of Bend, Oregon, but guess what? Sean moved to my neck of the woods. Sean's in Portland. Sean is awesome and has helped me with a bunch of stuff lately. And if you have wiring needs for your guitar, he can help you too. If you want to get weird with it, he can get weird. If you just need to spruce things up a little bit, there's your guy. He takes all the guesswork out of doing your guitar wiring, and he makes it simple, and his customer service is top-notch, and I can't say enough good things about Gun Street as a company. I really respect Sean and what he's all about, and the product is top-notch. I've got 3 different guitars that now have Gun Street harnesses in them, and I could not be happier. So go to GunStreetWiringShop.com and check them out.